Welcome to Alex Asks, a podcast series determined to bring to light the inequities within the music industry and discuss ways we can do better. Each episode, we'll take a look at an artist that experienced injustice within the industry, what happened, why it happened, how we reacted, how it all went down. I'm Alex, your host. Thank you so much for being here. I hope y'all got a chance to listen to some Kesha songs after the last episode. She really is so talented, such a good songwriter, and I'm so happy she's finally making music on her own terms. Today, Alex asks, what happened with Beyoncé? I have been so excited to talk about Beyoncé. Oh my God. The one, the only Beyoncé Knowles Carter. She is arguably the most iconic and well-known woman in this entire podcast series, and for good reason. She has some of the highest-selling songs in the history of music, has achieved success both as a member of girl group Destiny's Child and as a solo artist, and has been nominated for 70... 70? I literally even wrote, yes, 70 after this. 70 f***ing Grammy Awards? Why do I have goosebumps? That's f***ing crazy. Okay. She has won 24 of those nominations. Her career has had a massive impact on every decade she has released music, and just in the last few weeks, she became only the second female artist ever to have a number one single in each decade since her career started. She is a fierce advocate for, as she states, humans. In her 2016 interview with Elle magazine, she states that yes, she is a feminist, but she chooses not to embrace any label so as to not give the false impression that any one thing is her priority. She has done exactly that by strongly speaking out against police brutality and the acts of discrimination and violence by police against Black people in the United States. In addition to advocating for the Black Lives Matter movement, Beyoncé has been an avid and outspoken supporter of the LGBTQ+ community and has used her platform to discuss issues related to body image, representation, and artist ownership. She owns her own production company, Parkwood Entertainment, which is primarily used to elevate the artistry and content of Black creators within the industry. Beyoncé is a trailblazer, a massively talented performer, and has the incredible career to show for it. But she, like so many others, is not immune to injustice within the music industry. In February of 2016, Beyoncé performed alongside Coldplay and Bruno Mars at the 50th Super Bowl halftime show. Yep, we're here again. It's wild that this is the second time in this podcast series a Black woman receives backlash after her Super Bowl halftime performance. Disappointing, but who's surprised? Beyoncé performed her then latest single, Formation, a song and accompanying music video that addressed police brutality against the African American community, while also depicting the lack of government intervention and aid in the wake of the devastating Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Beyoncé used the performance to continue to elevate this message of Black positivity, and in doing so stirred up quite a controversy. She performed, along with an all-Black female lineup of dancers, in outfits inspired by and meant to emulate the Black Panther Party. The Black Panther Party was a socialist political organization created by Black Americans for Black Americans in response to increased police brutality, harassment, and murder. The party was considered controversial at the time and is still considered controversial today, despite the fact that the rise of the Black Panther Party from the 1960s to the 1980s came as a response to racial inequality and as a way for Black Americans to protect themselves. Over the time period the Black Panther Party grew and created more offices nationwide, many political officials, including then California Governor Ronald Reagan and then Director of the FBI J. Edgar Hoover, pushed back against the party. Laws were passed to limit who could carry firearms and who had access to firearms, which was intended to stunt the Black Panther Party's agenda of self-defense in response to violence committed by the state. The FBI, meanwhile, created a narrative that the Black Panther Party was the greatest threat to internal security of the United States, and a counterintelligence program was created to undermine party leadership, criminalize members, and drain the party of resources needed to organize and build upon itself. They used tactics like surveillance, party infiltration, and increased police harassment and murder to do so. In spite of this, the very obviously state-sanctioned violence against the party caused it to rise in numbers and grow into a nationwide collective, with locations spanning the Midwest through to its roots in Oakland. Chapters of the Black Panther Party even started in prisons, as incarceration of African Americans began to starkly increase in the new post-segregation period. The hyper-focus of the media and prominent members of politics on criminalizing the Black Panther Party eventually led to its disorganization and infighting, and more party members began to defect, isolate themselves, or were murdered by police. The Black Panther Party lost serious ground as a result of these systems at play, and by 1982 only had 27 documented members nationwide. However, the legacy of the Black Panther movement lives on out of necessity. In the Formation music video, multiple sings bring to light police brutality, with one frame of the video focused on graffiti art that states, "Stop shooting us." Mass incarceration, police brutality, and therefore the need for powerful messaging and displays of resilience was and still is more important and necessary than ever. This is where Beyoncé's performance comes in, where she highlights the racial history of what led to where we are now, and does so by being unapologetically Black and proud. This sparked a polarized response, with some commending and celebrating Beyoncé's performance for her outspoken advocacy and her determination to make the issues of Black Americans mainstream. But, because of the mainstream audience of the NFL Super Bowl halftime show, many who watched the performance fell on the opposite end of this opinion, stating that Beyoncé inappropriately used her platform and used the Super Bowl to bash police officers who quote-unquote keep us safe. Of course, the immediate follow-up question should be, and was, and still is, who is the us that police officers are supposedly keeping safe? Much of the negative conversation surrounding Beyoncé's Super Bowl 50 performance was centered around her bringing race into a space it wasn't called for. As such, mainstream media outlets began to target her for alienating Middle America. The problem with this, of course, is that it completely misses the point of what Beyoncé was trying to do, or worse, knows what the point was and chose to miss it or falsely report about it. Many news media outlets, especially those with a right-wing bias like Fox News, observe the performance at barely surface level, which limits and hinders the opportunity for important conversations related to racial injustice and police brutality to be had among the hundreds of millions of Super Bowl halftime viewers. This is especially harmful, as I'm sure so many of you listening are aware, because police brutality has never ended and the state-sanctioned violence and harm against Black Americans has not ended. These conversations are necessary. A performance like Beyoncé's at the Super Bowl is necessary. Utilizing a platform as large as the Super Bowl halftime show is necessary to ignite conversation, anger, and action. Anyone with access to the internet would be able to discover that arrests and violence by police officers disproportionately affect Black Americans, but news media would rather talk about how, quote-unquote, unwholesome the performance is. Which then takes us to the following year. Lemonade, the album that Formation ushered in, has now sold over 2.5 million copies worldwide, has been included on many year-end lists for the best album of the year, of the decade, of the 21st century, and Beyoncé as such is nominated for a total of 9 Grammy Awards at the 2017 ceremony. Among these nominations included ones for the major categories, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Album of the Year. I remember watching the ceremony in my dorm freshman year, waiting in anticipation as I expected Beyoncé to do a clean sweep. As a fan, as someone who learned from watching Lemonade, analyzed its lyricism and its visuals, and became deeply invested in the story of Black excellence and Black feminine power, I expected Beyoncé to take what was surely hers. I, like many others, was wrong. I watched as Beyoncé was forced to remain seated at the ceremony for most of the night, having won only 2 awards of the 9 she was nominated for, Best Urban Contemporary Album and Best Music Video for Formation. I watched as Adele, with her record-breaking album 25, swept the major categories, including Album of the Year. And I, like so many, including Adele herself, sat in absolute shock and disappointment as Adele, not Beyoncé, took the stage at the end of the night to accept the year's biggest award. Upon taking the stage and discussing what this moment represents for her, Adele then turned to Beyoncé, saying,
"But I can't possibly accept this award, and I'm very humbled and I'm very grateful and gracious, but my artist of my life is Beyoncé, and this album for me, the Lemonade album, was just so monumental, Beyoncé. It was so monumental and so well thought out. and so beautiful and soul-bearing, and we all got to see another side to you that you don't always let us see, and we appreciate that. And all us artists here, we f***ing adore you. You are our light. And the way that you make me and my friends feel, the way you make my black friends feel, is empowering, and you make them stand up for themselves. And I love you. I always have, and I always will.
Much has been written about this moment in Grammy history, as it represents a very ugly, very real truth about the state of the supposed highest musical achievement in the U.S. The Grammys are systematically racist. And this is not a response rooted in being upset Beyoncé didn't win, even though that's true as well. It's because people like Beyoncé, black artists who produce creative, genre-defying music rooted in their own experiences, do not win this award. In an essay written by music scholar John Villanova, he states that certain categories within the Grammys are racially marked, and history tells us that this is correct. At the time of Villanova's writing, 17 non-white artists had been nominated for the Album of the Year Grammy, and only one had won the award, Herbie Hancock, for an album literally containing covers of a white folk artist's music. And where Grammy producers repeatedly deny this fact-based theory, the writing is on the wall. I remember watching the ceremony and wondering why and how, that year, the award for Best Urban Contemporary Album was being televised, whereas I could not recall it being televised the year before. It was because it became worth it to Grammy producers to air it. Beyoncé won that award, rightfully so, but this particular year marked a more mainstream interest in the category, as Rihanna's incredible Anti-album was also up for the award. Rihanna ended the night with zero awards, despite being nominated for 8 that evening. The Grammys embody a message of black tokenism, and instead of honoring the work made by black artists, especially black women, in the major categories, the award show chooses to push these artists to the racially marked categories of R&B, rap, and urban contemporary. And while outspoken fans and outspoken artists like Frank Ocean, Kanye West, and Solange try to bring to light these issues and explain the injustices experienced by black artists, the truth remains clear. No matter how groundbreaking, chart-topping, or culturally relevant the art is, certain art created by certain artists will win. Thankfully, Beyoncé has never gotten lost in this haze of tokenism and white supremacy within the Grammys. And since 2018, she has not attended the awards ceremony, despite being nominated and winning, again, for Best Urban Contemporary Album. Because her artistry, like many of the artists that define generations and change the industry forever, is not bound by award recognition, chart toppers, or even album sales. It is about black pride, black female pride, and the pursuit of happiness as a black woman in the world as it is today. Beyoncé is a winner no matter what the scammies, yes, scammies, say, think, or do. And she will continue to occupy that space on our screens, in our playlists, and in our hearts and minds, unapologetically so. Thank you so much for listening. I love Beyoncé. I cried a handful of times while making this podcast, and I watch Lemonade whenever I need to feel empowered. I recommend you do the same. And while you're at it, stream Beyoncé's latest number one record, Savage, with Megan Thee Stallion. See y'all next time. Spread love.
Grandmother, the alchemist, you spun gold out of this hard life, conjured beauty from the things left behind, found healing where it did not live, discovered the antidote in your own kitchen, broke the curse with your own two hands. You passed these instructions down to your daughter, who then passed it down to her daughter.
I had my ups and downs, but I always find the inner strength to pull myself up. I was serving lemons, but I made lemonade.